in the name of the Lord. Come on, let's praise him a minute. Amen. In the name of the Lord. God, I thank you. Amen. For the name of Jesus. There is none other name. Amen. Under heaven, whereby we must be saved. By the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of our God. Amen. Why don't you try and do that? Say that with me. Blessed be the name of our God. His name is Jesus. Amen. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. There's one God. Amen. His name is Jesus. Blessed be the name of our God. Amen. Blessed be the name of our God. Amen. We exalt you. We magnify you. Amen. We lift up your name. Hallelujah. What a great day to be in church. Amen. Turn around somebody next to you and shake their hand. Say, man, I love you being in church with me. So excited that you're here. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless. In the name of the Lord. Hey, you too, buddy. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. Amen. God is great. My wife's just looking at me smiling and said, I did marry him. I did. She's got to remind herself. God is great in my soul. I think God wants to be great in your soul. God wants to be great in your soul. Let me say that again. God wants to be great. God doesn't want to be middling. He doesn't want to be somewhere in the stack. He doesn't want to be down at the bottom. And if you think he is, I've got some thinking for you that you need to do. He never said that he would be second. He never said that he would be last in your life. The Bible actually says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you worry about will be added unto you. They come behind you putting God first. I know I feel like I'm lecturing somebody. I don't want to lecture you. Amen. I'm trying my best to get you to reorient for yourself your thinking process so you can get it in the right order so God can bless you in your life. Amen. If you put God first and you'll trust God with everything in your life, then God will take care of all the other things that you need in your life. He will help you. God will help you with your situations. Don't get mad and leave. I'm telling the truth. God will help you. God helped us. I heard one person say, yes, he did. I said, God helped us. Amen. God helped us. God picked us up. God gave us a right thinking mind. Sometimes we have to wrestle against a wrong thinking mind, and we go through bits and fits where the wrong thinking mind tries to invade and take up residence. But we come to church and sing unto the Lord, hear preaching, spend some time in prayer, and we eject stinking thinking, because stinking thinking does not belong in the cerebellum of the saved. Doesn't belong. What's a church supposed to be? What's a church supposed to be? What's the design of the church? Where do we get that from? Why do we have church? What's going on? I've been preaching a progression of scriptures from Easter. Last weekend, I talked about Jesus' resurrection and all that that implied. I want to preach today, tying for anybody, this is your first time here, hearing this. There's a whole other set of sermons that leads up to this. Go watch them online. They're all online. I would like to say it's awesome to have Liz's mom and dad with us in church. It's always awesome to have you come and join us. I just let you know they didn't come just to hear me preach. My granddaughter had a birthday, so they came up to celebrate the birthday, and I appreciate them being here. I'm very, very thankful for both of you and what you mean. And my grandkids, our grandkids, they love you immensely. They do. And I'm very thankful for Isaac's in-laws. They're not outlaws, they're in-laws. And I'm very thankful for them. Acts 11, verse 25. A couple scriptures. And then we'll get started. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus. Barnabas left to go to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. It was a slang. It was a slur. The idea that they would be Christians or Christ followers was supposed to be a slur. Wasn't supposed to be something you're proud of. Wasn't supposed to be something that you would take and adopt and become a Christian church. Actually, it was meant, those Christ followers, the Christians. But they've changed the nature of the name eventually and we became known as Christians because they were such adamant followers of Christ. They weren't adamant followers of preachers. They weren't adamant followers of the church. They were adamant followers of Jesus Christ. If there's anything that we are designed and described to be in the Word of God, is adamant followers of Jesus Christ. People who love the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he came, that he lived and preached, that he died for our sins, that he shed his blood to pay the price for my sin, that they buried him hurriedly, unprepared, and on the third day when they went back to wash his body and to add spices to his dead body, he was not there because he was risen. Amen. That's the gospel in a nutshell. But it also implies and attaches itself to what was the reason for the cross? What was the reason for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? There was a purpose behind it. Yes, so we could believe that he came to give his life, that he is the Savior of the world. We must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe, amen, that he rewards us because of our faith. He promises that he would never leave us nor forsake us. But he also said, amen, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Preached about it last week. And his purpose was not just to die, not just to have people believe in him, but Jesus said, go to Jerusalem. I've got something else for you. There's something else that's going to turn you from timid
to strong. There's something that's going to turn you from weak, amen, to mighty. And you've got to go and receive power, amen, in Jerusalem. And I can't explain it to you. You've got to receive it. I can't tell you exactly what it is. And he didn't describe it. He didn't tell them what's going to happen. He didn't tell them how they're going to feel. He described it. Listen, his description. Is, amen, that I want you to go and I want you to get power. I'm preaching today that I want you to go and I want you to get power. That Jesus Christ himself came to die for your sins so you would believe he's a Savior, but he didn't stop. He didn't stop with faith. He didn't stop with you just saying, well, I believe that there is a God that died and was buried. He didn't stop there. He said, you need to go to Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost fully come, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Have you heard that one before? Acts 2 and 38, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. Amen. What's the power? Well, that's what Jesus said he was going to give to them. Amen. And I believe that Jesus, when he said it, he wasn't talking just to them. He was talking to every them that came after them. Amen. That everybody would have access to the Holy Ghost. Everybody would have access to the power to be witnesses. Not just power, but the power makes you a witness. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you got to tell somebody about it. Amen. You want to tell somebody about it. The greatest witnesses in the church are the new converts. Sometimes us old converts are a little more reluctant. But a new convert just got the Holy Ghost, they're going to go tell people. And people are going to say, what happened to you? They're going to walk into work Monday morning, and people are going to say, what happened to you? You don't talk like you used to talk. Hey, man, you're not even acting like you used to act. What happened in your life? Hey, man, the old song that we used to sing, something got a hold of me. Hey, man, I went to a meeting one night. My heart was not right. Amen. But something got a hold of me. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you. Amen. The Holy Ghost fills you and changes you. And you're born into the church. You don't shake hands in the church. You don't like somebody into the church. You don't like the music and get in church. You don't like the preaching style and get in church. I'm telling you, how you get in church is you receive the Holy Ghost and let God fill your life, and you're born again in the body of Christ. And then the rest of your life, you walk in it. You walk in the Holy Ghost. It's not a singular incident. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Amen. You walk with the Lord every day. Amen. You can end up in the midnight hour, find yourself praying and speaking in tongues. You can do it driving down the road. Dana, amen, driving a truck down the highway, and the Holy Ghost fills him, and he's speaking in tongues. Amen. Listening to somebody preach. They don't really see that. They don't really see this, and they barely see that. Stand. Say, yeah, that's exactly. Amen. I'm talking about everywhere the Holy Ghost. Everywhere you are, the Holy Ghost is. Amen. You're never by yourself. You're never without God. God's always with you. Amen. His Spirit always fills you. You can always have the joy of the Lord. You can always have the peace of God that passes all understanding. That is the church. That's what God gives us. The power of the Holy Ghost to walk in the Spirit. Was it Peter or Paul? It slipped my mind off the top of my head. One of them's preaching in late in the midnight hour. Somebody's sitting in the window, fall out and die. And he says, hold on. Pardon me a moment. I got to stop preaching. And he goes out, lays hands, prays for the guy. The guy comes back to life. He brings him back into church. I don't know if he set him back in the window. Amen. I don't know where he put him, but somewhere he put him. He sat back down in church. And Paul went to his notes and said, now, where was I? I'm not done. If somebody died and fell out the window and I went and prayed for them and they got up, hey, man, I don't think you'd let me quit preaching. Maybe you'd make me quit preaching and you'd just start shouting and say, we've had enough. That's enough, preacher. Amen. But they just kept preaching. I can't even imagine that. So I want to tell you, the church, and I put it on the sign out front, I've been thinking about it all week long. Amen. This is not the church. The building, the brick, amen, the plaster, the lights, the music, it's not the church. Amen. If you don't understand, you're going to understand by the time I get done preaching, you are the church. Amen. If the church is goofy, it's because we're goofy. If we're idiotic, it's because we're idiotic. Amen. If we act dumb, it's because we're acting dumb. But I'm telling you, if you got the Holy Ghost and you act in the Holy Ghost, you're honoring the Almighty God. Amen. You're giving Him glory. You're lifting Him up, saying, I magnify you. I exalt you. I adore you. Amen. You ought not be ashamed of magnifying God. Because God magnified you when He filled you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. God exalted you when He put His Spirit inside of you. So the church is a people. It's never been a place. The church has never been a place. Amen. The church should not be depressed. The church should not be depressed. If you're depressed, you got the wrong church. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm helping you. The Holy Ghost lives in here, and the Holy Ghost is not a molly grubber. The Holy Ghost, can you imagine? God, Almighty God, Almighty, the Creator of the world, walking around going, life's so tough. Oh, what a world I live in. It's so... The guy they killed. The guy they hated so much, they killed. And he said, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to love them anyway. I'm going to reach to them and save them. I'm going to pick them up out of miry clay and put their feet on a rock to stay. I'm going to do a work that's going to blow their mind. And so if you're mully grubbing, you're not mully grubbing in the spirit. You're mully grubbing in your spirit, but not His spirit. Jesus. I feel it, and maybe you need to hear it. Maybe you're not going to rejoice over it. I think it's something worth rejoicing over. You're all going to make me, aren't you? Come here and help me. Grab a hold around my neck. How long will you go through life carrying the monkey on your back? How long? How long? How long will you carry the weight of disappointment and hurt and bitterness or anger or whatever it is you carry in your life, or fear of God doing a work in your life? How long will you carry the stuff that you carry, which are not, you are not? I am not designed to carry this monkey. He's about to choke me. That's it. Climb higher. That's what I need. How long? How long? How long? How long do we carry depression? How long do we carry hurts? How long do we carry bitterness? How long? How long? Amen. Can we not lift our hands and magnify the Lord because the weight's too much. I'm telling you, you carry it too long. You're not designed. You're not designed to carry this ugly weight. Are you? Is this what the church should be? You know, the greatest revival the church ever had was when the Romans were killing them. The gospel spread quicker because the Romans said, hey, if you don't deny Jesus, I'm going to execute you. And they said, I'd rather be with him than with you. Give it your best shot. His arms are shaking. He's struggling to hold on. Hold on till you get there. Hold on till you get there. Call on Jesus, my Heavenly Father. Hold on till you get there. Wow. Sit there. Now I'm going to show you. Come here and help me. No. 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 Not even a little bit am I serious. And after Pentecost, 3,000 people were added to the church. And then it says, amen, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Let me just preach to you. Would you let me preach to you? You're not going to last unless you're fellowshipping with the church. You're not going to last unless you're fellowshipping with the church. If the devil tells you you shouldn't be fellowshipping with the church, or the church doesn't love you, or the church has nothing for you, he is an absolute liar. Hey, amen. The only way you're going to make it is if you're three bound together. A threefold cord is not easily broken, and it's the enemy of your soul. I'm preaching to all those people watching online. Hey, amen. I'm telling you, it's designed that you would have fellowship in the church. It's designed that, come here and help me, be my friend this time instead of my monkey. Amen. Come here, help me. It's designed that you'd have fellowship. Man, I'm having trouble. Come here, quit writing. Amen. Come here. I'm having trouble. I'm telling you, I'm wrestling with the devil, and he's winning. What am I going to do? You boys better come up with some advice real quick. Get a hold of ChatGPT if you're not going to remember the Bible. Ask that ChatGPT what to do in the Word of God. What are you going to do if I'm having trouble? Pray for you. Thank God. Hallelujah. We're designed. We are designed. We are designed. Let me make this as simple as I possibly can. I give you a new Porsche. Free. You get a new Porsche, I give you the keys, and you take it down to the swamp and run it into the swamp. Wah, 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 wah. You know how long you're going to be wah, 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 wahing around? About 5 seconds. Because it's not designed to be a swamp buggy. Nellie Wells is in Alaska. And I don't know if you've been following her, but dear Lord, she's having a time of her life. She went dog sledding with the son of a three or four time Iditarod winner and his dogs. And Nellie is going by on a dog sled, giggling. The dog's goes by. It's the funniest video in the world. She goes by. Can't wait to let her come and tell about it. And then they got on a snow cat, big not wheels, but big treads on the front. Amen. Big treads on the back so it can drive through the snow. And they take a video of her. We're going to go to the top of that hill. Mom, and it's throwing snow. And it's going. Why? Because it's designed for it. Do you not understand? You're designed to be connected. You're designed to be in fellowship. You're designed to go to Starbucks with somebody and buy their drink. There go the amens. Backwards. Suck that back in. Take them to McDonald's. Invite them over. We were talking about it in class. And Rose said, I'd rather have them over to my house. It's cheaper. I could cook them something. It's cheaper. Take them to your house. Don't tell your mom they're coming. Hallelujah. Think about it. We're designed. We're designed to come to Kids Can Cook tonight. We're designed to applaud every one of our little kids. Amen. Even if it doesn't taste good, you eat it, you smile, you thank them. Say, I appreciate the effort. I'm really proud of the effort that you gave. Don't anybody ever speak negative to a kid that's cooked you a meal. Don't ever do that. And don't ever say, well, it's just kids. I don't have any kids, and they don't matter. I'm telling you what, if it's your kid, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm doing it. If it's your kid, if you're too young to have kids, you ought to come and support their kids. Amen, because you're going to have kids someday, and you're going to be throwing a fit. Hey, nobody came to my event where my kid was, and I'm so upset. About 5 years from now, I'm so upset because nobody came. That church ought to be better about it. Well, if you're not going to be good at it now, why should they be good with you later? And it doesn't say, listen, wow, I'm just lost in pastoring. It doesn't say you ought to be friends. The 8-year-olds be friends with 8-year-olds. The 12-year-olds be friends with 12-year-olds. The 20-year-olds be friends with 20-year-olds. The 90-year-olds have to be friends with the 90-year-olds. And there's a distinct difference between them. I'm telling you, that's baloney. Some of you young people ought to come over and ask some of the white-haired folks, hey man, how did you live for God? So y'all can get out of the way and sit down. What are you doing standing here? Talk to somebody. Ask them questions. There's some people that have been through some stuff, and they can tell you what it's like to lose a child. They can tell you what it's like for somebody to backslide that's in their family, close to them. They can tell you, and they can tell you how they got through it. They can tell you how they overcome disappointment. They can tell you how they made it through the mess. I'm telling you, the church is designed for you. The church is designed to help you, to strengthen you, to care for you, amen, to applaud you, and occasionally to spank you, to say you're not doing it right. And a little bit of what I'm preaching is, amen, some of you believe the devil too much. Because the Bible says, they continued in the doctrine, and the fellowship, and the breaking of bread. You know one of Jesus' most interesting things he ever did? Is he sat down and ate with his disciples. He didn't eat in another chair in another room. He sat by the fire. In fact, one of the last examples of it, he calls them out of the boat after they had a mighty catch. He says, come on over. I have breakfast. And he had fish on the fire. I don't like fellowship. I can tell you, people in our church tell me, I don't really like people. I don't like your version of the Holy Ghost.
because your Holy Ghost doesn't match His Spirit.
Dear, I apologize. Makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody except for them and them and them.
You can't find that in the song, and you can't find that in the scripture.
Oh, I don't like those people.
Perfect. Exactly. Yes. You've got it now. You don't like them. And God designed it for you to love them. What if they're wrong? That's who He meant. What if they don't live like you live? What if they walk with a limp? Figuratively speaking, what if they've been wounded by some event in life or hurt somewhere way down the road and they can't even define what that hurt was, but they walk in their life just a little bit crooked? Amen. You, emotionally I'm speaking, not physically, but what if something happened in their life? Do you not think, does anybody in the room not think if someone's hurt by life that loving them is going to make it worse? Does anybody in the room want to be loved less? Please, raise your hand. If you want to be loved less, anybody online? Am I in camera? Anybody online want to be loved less? Our problem sometimes is we don't like the way they love us. I don't like the way they love me. They love me differently than I want to be loved. And nowhere in the Bible does it say you can only be loved the best way that you know how to give love, and everybody else who loves you in their way is doing it wrong. I'm sorry. It doesn't say that. You need to change your standards of what love looks like. Love does not look like exactly what you think it should look like. It looks like the way He thinks it should look. And so sometimes you've got to accept love that doesn't look like the way you want it. And sometimes this is the way love feels sometimes. I'm standing on His foot while I'm hugging His neck. And you think, oh my God, he's standing on my foot. What did he get off my foot? Please get off my foot. You said something I didn't really like. And so you're standing on my foot, and I don't think I can hug you any longer. I'm about to explode. You're standing on my foot. And rather having a calm conversation, hey, get off my foot. We take and go pout. Over there and pout. Come on, pout. Professionally pout. You know, like your sister does. Go ahead and show us how. Just kidding, Rose. Wherever you are, I love you greatly. Hallelujah. Your mom wasn't in the room. Don't tell her what I said. And we allow people to love us, amen, the best way they know how. I'm telling you, as your pastor, I get loved in a variety of ways. And I say, man, that's so kind of you. Thank you. When they come to me and say, you sure preach a long time, I'm going to preach more next time. Thanks for helping me. Amen. And they feel like it's loving to tell me I preach too long, I say too much, I'm too loud, I'm too frank. Whatever you want to say, thank you for the love. Right? 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 My Lord, I'm preaching too close to home. Jesus, help me to get back in the scriptures where it says, they continued daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. I did read the one before, verse 44, and they all believed were together, and they had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods. Are you done, Fountain? And parted them to all men, every man, as every man had need. They were so willing to love each other, they gave up their stuff, and they gave their stuff away. So we're going to have you turn in all your 401ks today. Just go ahead and sell your car and your house, bring all your money, pile it up right here. No, that's not what, nobody else did that, but they did that. They actually cared so much. I asked my hyphen class today, what does love look like? We have a family, they're not here today. We have a family coming to church that their father was shot in the bedroom while the family was in the room. And the man came out of the room and held a gun at the mother's head and said, if you tell anybody, I'll kill you. He's caught, he's in jail, he's been sentenced. I don't know all the details about that. But we have a couple of little children coming to church. A little five-year-old boy on Wednesday night came in and sat next to my wife. She was downstairs with the Borlicks doing the ministry downstairs. And he came in and sat next to my wife, leaned over on her and said, I miss my dad. They're struggling with life. Some of the older kids are angry. Imagine I would be. And they're acting out in school. In fact, two of them got kicked out of school this year. Sonny came up with a plan. Calls it the five elephants. He wanted five men to gather with this boy and be an influence. So he called us, included me, asked me if it was okay. Last week, in order to try and get him to see a different world, Steve Cook scheduled him on his small plane. One of the city council members joined Sonny. They went and picked up this little boy, brought him to the local airport, got in the plane with Steve, and they flew, I think it was up to Michigan. I don't remember what city, doesn't matter. And they landed and borrowed a car and drove over to a restaurant and sat down and had a breakfast with him and tried to tell him, look, life doesn't have to be the way it's been lived in front of you, and we'll help you live a different life. Sonny called the music store over in Fort Wayne, Sweetwater, huge, massive music store, and asked, can we do a tour? And the lady said, I don't think so. Let me give you somebody else, and passed him on. And she answered the phone. He told the boy's name, and turns out her dad's name is that little boy's name. And her heart opened. She'd already told him, no, we're not, we don't, can't do that. But her heart opened in that brief phone call. And she said, you know, we ought to do things like that. And said, you can come and set up a time. And Sonny borrowed my car. He and the little boy drove over to the music store And they toured him. They showed him all the instruments and let him experience all of that. And talk to him. There's a different life than the path you're on. And we will help you get off of that path. We want to help you. We want to influence you. If you'll let us. But he's never seen that life. And somebody had to say, look, let me show you something that you've never experienced. Let me take you somewhere where you've never been before. And let me tell you about a God who loves you and a church that loves you. And it took time, and it took gas, and it took flight time, and it took... And I'm telling you, we are called, we are called to be the church. All of us. I'm not saying we're not the church. I see the church in action all the time. Sister Thacker goes and has been for a number of years serving lunch with one of the organizations in town that feeds the hungry. And she goes and works the line and works the kitchen and I don't know, the washing of the pots or whatever. And she does it all the time. Sister Thacker could retire. She could sit home and knit doilies if she wanted to. But she said, no, I still want to be in the church. And there's so, I can't preach about all that the church does. Man, we'd be here forever. There's so much that the church is doing constantly. People are helping people and serving, and meals are being taken to moms and to families that are hurting, and people are praying and caring for. And I'm telling you, if you don't feel like you're yet part of the church, I'm here to preach to you that there's a place for you. There's a place for your talent, for your heartbeat. There's a need for you. There's broken people all around us who need hope. They need a God. They need someone to tell them to break through. Listen, people have barriers and they have walls and they have fears, and they need somebody to reach through that and say, man, God loves you. God can do a work in your life. God can change your life. Amen. And I'm preaching to you that you are called to be that chain breaker, amen, that wall tearer downer. You're called to reach your hand into somebody's life and say, I don't know what everybody else is doing, but I'm going to do something to help you. I'm going to reach and try and draw you, amen, because here is the best life you'll ever live. And it's the best eternity you could ever hope for. Amen. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the church. I'm so thankful for the Sunday school teachers. I'm so thankful for youth leaders. I'm so thankful for the musicians that show up at 8 o'clock today, and the singers that get here at 8:30. I'd love to rev an engine for them. I was going to say that before that happened, just so you know. I'm so thankful for prayer warriors who get up in the morning and pray and read their Bible. So thankful. I can't tell you how thankful I am for Eric and the team upstairs on the balcony that are trying to get the message out into the greater world. And for any of our shut-ins or anybody that's checking us out online, they have an opportunity to see us and think, man, he is crazy. They told me he was crazy. I believe it. He's crazy. And the sound guys that aren't turning my mic up or down or off for making me sound like a gorilla or monkey or something when I'm talking, very thankful for the lighting team and Bruce and his care and our deaf ministry and our coordinators that because you make the church, your service, your sacrifice, your care, your fellowship, your support. Stand with me, would you? Now listen, I know some people don't like this, but I want you to hold hands with everybody around you that you can hold hands with. Grab at least 6 or 8 people's hands. Amen. Don't let anybody out. Don't let anybody not hold hands. Look around at somebody. Amen. Quit holding one and hold somebody who's not holding one. Amen. Somebody needs to be loved. And I want you to know that we as a church are trying our best. If you just let us love you, if you just let us pray with you, if you just listen as we encourage you, you can do it. God is with you. God loves you. God will give you a new heart. God will give you a new mind. Amen. Everybody believe that. Join me in prayer right now. Pray with the people that are with you. God, I pray that you'd help us. Amen. That love is shared. I pray, God, against me and me loving me. There's so much more you've done for me, God. Amen. I've got to be loving other people. I got to be loving outside of my family. I got to be loving, God, the hurting. God, help me to love beyond me. I pray, God, help me to see beyond me. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, let me be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the Holy Ghost work through me. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I pray in the name of the Lord, God, that you would move through us right now. God, that your spirit would move through us. Amen. Let the love of God fill this room. I pray in the name of the Lord. Not by my might, not by my power, God, but by your spirit, I pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would help us, amen, to be the church. I pray, God, amen, help us to improve our serve. God, I thank you for that. I praise you. God, I magnify the Lord. Amen. I pray in the name of Jesus. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord.